This red tide bloom really started last November off of Naples, and it just wouldn't go away. It kept on migrating in the Naples, Sanibel Island, Fort Myers area. And then as the summer came in, it grew and it moved up to Sarasota and finally up to the beaches off of St. Pete. So it has been a killer. It's been many miles wide, and it's just killed millions and millions of fish. We've seen dolphins, whales, manatees dying or injured as a result of this red tide bloom. And it's depressing the economy of our beach communities to the point where tourism is grinding to a halt.
Because it's not just in the water, there's also airborne toxins that are affecting people.
That's right. So we first became aware of the red tide problem about, 15, 16 years ago when there was a big red tide bloom off of Sarasota. And the people who were complaining to us were suffering from respiratory ailments, and they were breathing those toxins in and choking off of the red tide aerosol. And as we've studied it, we realized this is a real health hazard to anybody who has asthma or some other respiratory disease, and it could be pretty toxic to you.
There are some suggestions about ways to alleviate the red tide or make it not quite as bad. And one of those ways is to dump clay over the bloom. And you're a critic of that. Why?
Well, first of all, they've experimented with clay before. Moat Marine Laboratory has been experimenting with clay for 15 years. And clay has not proven to be the panacea and the instant solution that people thought it would be. It produces other ecological effects that could be far worse. So what you're doing is you're spreading all this clay all over this very large red tide area. The clay then combines with the red tide and theoretically sinks it to the bottom of the Gulf, where then it coats the Gulf of Mexico. And it kills other sea life in the process. So this may be a sure way of killing the Gulf long term just to get rid of the red tide bloom. Let me remind your listeners about the BP oil spill disaster. The solution that we came up with, unfortunately, was spraying Corexit over the BP oil spill. Corexit is a dispersant, and it dispersed the oil, but the oil didn't go away. And the Corexit then caused additional problems in the Gulf of Mexico, so that now you had two problems, the oil residual plus the toxic dispersant. That made the Gulf of Mexico that much more sick. And we don't want to repeat that with this kind of solution. The other thing I'll mention is that this clay is an experimental clay that's coming from China. So it is highly dependent on our being able to buy the clay from China, getting adequate supplies, then testing it in the Gulf of Mexico to make sure that it works, making sure that there aren't other harmful effects. And it's not just clay. They combine the clay with an artificial polymer so that then you really have a substance that is foreign to the Gulf of Mexico going in there. And nobody really knows what the impact will be. So if anybody thinks this is a quick fix, it's not. This is something they're going to research and test over several years before they apply it to the Gulf as a whole. And the better solution is to immediately take action to enforce our clean water laws in the state of Florida, stop the pollution that is fueling these red tide blooms.
How does pollution affect red tide?
Pollution from cattle farms, from chicken coops, from these chicken CAFOs in northern Florida, for example, which are draining nutrients through the Suwannee River into the Gulf of Mexico. Cattle farms in the center of the state are draining that toxic waste from cattle that are pooping right into streams and rivers. That goes into Lake Okeechobee. And then that water that is filled with the nitrogen and phosphorus that is broken down from the cattle manure then is released into the Gulf of Mexico or to the Atlantic Ocean when there's too much rain and they've got to make releases from Lake Okeechobee. Then you've got fertilizers you've got septic tank problems, and then you have sewage overflows like we've had in Tampa and St. Pete, where the sewage systems are overloading, they're breaking down. After a big rainfall, you have to do a massive sewage release that also adds all of these nutrients, primarily nitrogen and phosphorus, to the water. That then becomes fuel for red tide or other forms of algae.
Is there anything else that people should know about red tide and possible solutions?
I would say beware of politicians who suddenly are going to throw millions of your taxpayers' money into research. You know, they're looking for an escape clause, and they're not going to find one there. You know, but they're trying to fool people into believing they're doing something by spending millions and millions of dollars on research. They are afraid of tackling the problem by forcing cities and counties and farmers and industrial polluters to obey the law and control their waste and to reduce the amount of waste that's going into our waters. They need to enforce the law, and don't listen to them when they say, hey, we're going to spend money on research. That's the solution.